Amen. I'm glad my God can do all things that I need Him to do. When we were over here preaching during the COVID-19 pandemic, I don't know who it was. I have a thought who it was, but I don't know who it was, but someone came up and put amens on these first 3-4 pews. There's 8 of them. Now, it'd be a shame if we get more amens, those 8, when no one's here, doing a crowd like this. I'm glad my dog can do all things, aren't you? If Brother Drake, if you'll have him come and sing that song during invitation, I'd appreciate that. Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Luke, chapter number 8. Book of Luke, chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8, verse number 43. Very familiar text tonight. No doubt we've read it. We've learned about it in Sunday school, taught, preached upon. But maybe God will show us something new tonight in His Word. Luke's the writer, no doubt. He's a physician. We know Luke was a doctor. Colossians chapter 4 tells us and calls and refers to him as that beloved physician. The Bible states that not many wise are called. And that is speaking of Luke. We know Luke was a very wise man. Him and Paul, evidently, they were on a very high intellect level as well as a spiritual level. Paul and Luke became good friends. They became fast friends and traveled together. And Luke records this account along with the synoptic gospels. We know those are the Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They tell of the account, these accounts, these miracles, the parables in a very familiar sense, all together agreeing. And we find that this text is recorded by Luke, no doubt him being a doctor. And we find he's recording and records many miracles of healing, physical healings. Brother Randy this morning sang that song, "We Are Standing on Holy Ground." In that stanza, it says, "Reach out and touch Him, for the place you're standing is on holy ground." I begin to think about this text and reaching out and touching Him. This one in our text tonight, she reached out and touched heaven. And that's what I want to preach on tonight is touching heaven. Having a touch from heaven in Luke chapter 8, verse number 43. The Bible says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter, they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that was hid not, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people that cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.'" Father, we thank you tonight for the song service. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to assemble. Father, for the songs to uplift your Savior or our Savior, your Son. We thank you we can call upon your name, Lord. I pray now that you would bless the reading of your word. I pray it would find a place in our hearts. It would find root in our heart, in our soul, and we would bring fruit upward to you, Father, for the glory of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We find this lady, she's there on that day. She's fighting through the crowds, through the presses, through the multitude, and she reaches out and touches the border of Jesus' garment. I want to say, number one, the place that was touched. Jesus, he is now in Galilee in our text. He's in Capernaum, for he had been invited to leave the Capulets, that place, the country of the Gadarenes. Jesus had healed a man, and he was not welcome there anymore. He had given this man, this maniac of Gadara, new life. He had saved him. He had cleansed him from his sins, something that his family could not do for him, something that the community could not do, something that a good Bible-believing fundamental church could not do. But what they couldn't do, Jesus accomplished in his life. Yet the multitude of that city, perhaps it was the town council, maybe the mayor, the multitudes of that city invited Jesus to leave, for the Bible says they besought him to depart. You see, in that country, just like ours today, they'd rather have the swine than the Savior. I noticed in that text, they'd rather have the hogs than the heaven. But we find Jesus finds himself at a place that he's welcome. He goes back across the sea, finds himself in Galilee, there in Capernaum, and the Bible says that they welcomed him. And in verse number 40, it says the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. May we get to a place in our life, in our church, where we're waiting on Jesus Christ. We find they're waiting for his presence to be manifested. We ought to be waiting for answered prayers. We ought to be waiting for a move of God, a touch from heaven, waiting on Christ, our Savior, the blessed hope to come. They're waiting there, and when they see Christ, the Bible says they gladly received him. You know, when Christ does graces with his presence, we ought not to be ashamed, we ought not to be embarrassed, but we ought to gladly receive Christ. The multitude on that day in Capernaum, the masses, the Bible says they received him, they welcomed him. Here comes the masses. The Bible says they pressed upon him and thronged him. The word means to suffocate. There were so many people, so many around him, they were suffocating our Savior. They wanted to be near him. They wanted to hear what he say. They wanted to see, be close to him. What does he have to say? What miracle will he perform today? Who will he heal? Who will he touch? Who will be blessed this hour? Let me say tonight, when we have that attitude, when we have that excitement, when we have that anticipation, who's Jesus going to save this morning? What's Jesus going to do in tonight's service? Who's Jesus going to heal? And what's he going to do tonight? We would be blessed. It's verified in our text. God will do great things when he's welcomed, when he's received by the multitudes and the masses. We find this place. They welcomed him. They received him. They anticipated his return. And when he came, they were glad to see Jesus. I want to say tonight, I'm glad to see him in the house of God tonight. We find the place where he trods. That place will be where he's welcome. That place will be where he's accepted. That place will be where he's invited. But I notice the place where she touched. Notice we're introduced to a woman that is sick. She's had a blood disease. She's been sick for many years. No one could help her. No one could cure her. No one could comfort her. She tried, but she only grew worse. She became more in debt. But on this day, she finds herself in the right place. There before her eyes was our Savior, Jesus Christ. There, the Son of God, the Savior, the Redeemer, our friend, she finds herself at the right place. She didn't have to talk to him. She didn't have to come face to face. She didn't have to present him with gifts and with gold. But Matthew's account says, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. What a blessed thought that is tonight. Touching heaven, touching the hem of garment. She fought through the crowd, through the presses, through the masses, the multitudes on that day. And verse 44 says, and touched the border of his garment. This border, the fringes, the hem of his garment may not mean much to you and I, but we notice for any pious Jew, for any religious man, for any devout Jew that would want to associate themselves with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They wanted to be that one, that devout Jew that followed the law. They would have been wearing an outer garment that would symbolize the robe of the priest. We know in Exodus chapter 28, that robe of that priest, the high priest, it had to be blue in color. And they would wear this outer garment. No doubt Jesus did. And there on the fringes, there dangling from that tattered garment, no doubt he wore, there would be tassels, there would be threads, there would be borders of the color blue. Blue represents heaven. You see, that day when she reached out and touched Jesus' garment, she was touching heaven itself. We know in Exodus, those tassels of those priests, they would have them pomegranates and golden bells. Those pomegranates would be blue in color. They'd be scarlet in color and in purple. Purple representing royalty. Blue representing heaven. And we know the crimson red representing the blood of Jesus Christ. She touched his garment. She was touching heaven. She was touching Jesus' shed blood on Calvary. And because of his stripes, she was made whole. Jesus, he's wearing this robe, representing that color blue, and she touched his garment, she touched his hem, she was touching heaven. I want to say tonight, that'd be a good place for you and I to touch tonight. If we could just touch heaven, what it represents, who it represents, touching heaven. Let me say tonight, there's no virtue in that cross. There's no power itself in the cross. There's no supernatural remedy in the cross itself. But the one that died on that cross, the one that shed his blood on the cross, the one that took my place and your place on that top cross, if we could just touch him, get into his presence, that's a great place to be. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross for an emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, for where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish that old rugged cross till it trophies my last I lay down, and I will cling. That's the touch. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it one day for a crown. Tonight, if we can just get to where Christ is, no matter if there's masses or just a few, and touch and cling to Jesus, lay hold on him, call upon his name, reach out and touch him, for he is passing by. The place where Jesus trods will be the place where he welcomes. The place where she touched was heaven, the hem of his garment, his very border. But I know, secondly, the position in which this woman came. No one knows her name. We don't know if she had a family. We don't know if she was married. We don't know if she had children. No one knows. But she was just on this day one of the many, one of the masses that pressed and thronged and wanted to be near to Christ. In verse 44, the Bible says, she came behind him and touched the border of his garment. She didn't pastor seek him face to face. She didn't dare touch his hand. She didn't come to him boldly with that demanding response, but she came with a sob. She came with a prayer. She came humbly behind him and touched the hem of his garment. I notice when we come to Christ, it's going to be with meekness. It's going to be with humbleness and the touching that blue fringe. If we're going to touch heaven, we're going to have to come with a broken and contrite spirit. And immediately the Bible says, she was made whole. We can find many things wrong with this woman's theology. She purposed in her heart, if I can touch his garment. But we notice her faith was in the healing power of Jesus Christ. The border of his garment was a contact for her faith. And we find that Jesus was not moved by the masses of the people of that day. He was not moved by the multitude, but he was moved by one woman that was sick, one woman that was humble, one woman that was meek. That was the one that got our Savior's attention. Notice our text. The masses were there. The multitude was there. Many had seen his miracles. They'd heard of his healing. They come, they throng Christ, they press against him. But notice, it's possible to be in the presence of Almighty God and never be changed. All these masses, all these people came to Jesus, but we only read of two, Jairus and this woman that was changed. Everyone else, they went away the same way that they came. You know, tonight, it's possible to come to a good church, a Bible-preaching church, a Holy Ghost-filled church. It's possible to be getting His divine presence. It's possible to see God move. It's possible to enjoy Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled singing, and leave the same way that you came. But they recognized Jesus. We recognize Him. They knew of His power. We know of His power. They knew of His capabilities. They knew of His divinity. Yet, they never responded in faith. I want to ask you tonight. Maybe there's someone in this sanctuary listens to us by the way of the internet. You've been around things of God all your life. You were young, grew up in church. Your parents drug you to church from a time that you were born. But yet, you have never responded to Jesus Christ in simple, godly faith. It's possible to be in His presence and never be changed. She came behind Him humbly. She came behind Him submissively. She came behind Him poorly. And perhaps, just wrote down just a few minutes ago, she came singing that hymn, "Nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. Naked I come to Thee for dress, helpless look to Thee for grace. Wretched to Thy fountain I fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the blood from Thy pierced side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save me from wrath and make me pure." She came humbly. She responded in faith. God did not care about the masses, but one humble, sick, meek, poor woman got His attention. Have you came to Him humbly? Have you submitted yourself, your life, your family, your all to Him? We find the place where He trods. We find the place where she touched. We find the position in which she came. It was from behind. It was humbly. But also see the position she came reverently from beneath. In our text, in verse 44, our story, our text, it starts out, she came behind Him. And it ends in verse number 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling. We find Jesus states, "Who touched me?" Somebody has touched me. "For I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." Preacher, I believe in this text, as those masses were thronging Him, they were pressing Him, they were so close, there was no social distancing in this text, they were suffocating Him. And as she touched His garment, He cries, "Who touched me?" And I believe He was looking right at her with those all-seeing, all-piercing, all-knowing eyes. Because in Mark's account, the Bible says, "And He looked around about to see her that had done this thing." You see, no one knew. No one was aware that Jesus was speaking to her. No one knew that God had revealed Himself to her. No one knew that she had been under conviction. She was afraid. She was troubled. And Jesus was waiting for her response. He's waiting for your response tonight. He's waiting for you to give your due praise, your due worship. You're coming humbly and meekly before the throne of God. Tonight, I wonder, in this sanctuary, no one knows. No one has a clue. But could God be speaking to you? He sees. He knows. Those piercing eyes. He's piercing your soul. Under conviction, fear, she came trembling. who will come tonight, we find here that she came trembling, falling down before him, forsaking all. The position in which he came. Has God been good to you? He's been good to me. Has God saved your soul? Is your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is your food in your stomach? Do you have a roof over your head? We ought to fall at his feet. We ought to find ourselves coming before him, reverently, beneath him, trembling and thanking him for all that he's done, bowing our head, raising our hands, blessing the name of the Lord. Kyla Rowland, she penned that song the group sings. As I look back, so clearly I see where God has met my every need. God has been so good to me in the still dark night to send his sweet spirit and dry troubled eyes. Here it is. It is my greatest honor to bow at his feet. God has been good to me. She states in this song, great song, it's my greatest honor to bow at his feet. It's not a burden tonight. It's not a chore tonight. It's not a dread tonight. But it ought to be our honor as child of God, born again Christians, to bow at his feet, trembling and reverently and thanking him for all he's done. We find she comes reverently beneath him. The position she came behind. The position she came beneath. But I see thirdly, this proclamation that was made in Matthew's account, just as in Mark's account, she says, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. You know, she settled some things inside. She put some things to rest deep inside, that doubt. She was determined. She had purposed in her heart. I've spent all I've had. I've grew worse. 12 years I had got no help. I'm wasting time. I'm wasting all my energy. If I could just touch his garment, I shall be made whole. You know, I see this text. She had that determination of a bulldog. Tenacity, the confidence that our pastor preached about this morning, knowing if she can get to God, knowing if she could touch him, all would be made well. We see that she'd spent all she had. That shows she was committed. We see she fought through the presses. She burst through the crowd. That shows her determination. We find that she said, if I can touch his garment, that's her persistence. Let me say tonight, as a church, a great church this is, and as great a pastor we have, when we have this same attitude and this same tenacity as this woman, God can do some great things in our presence. We need some young people, maybe some young people here tonight, to have this tenacity, to make up your mind, to determine your heart, whether my friends do or whether my friends don't. Whether I'm an outcast or whether I'm ridiculed, I'm going to go with God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to put God first in my life. Come, no matter what may, God is going to be touched. His garment is going to be touched. And when we have that attitude, when we have that determination, and when we forsake all and follow him, the Bible says but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. It seems like when we put God first, everything else will begin to fall in place. We find she had a determination. She had tenacity. She had a confidence. She made a proclamation. If I could just touch him, I shall be whole. But notice the proclamation he made in verse 45. It says, and Jesus said, who touched me? Do you see the picture? The masses. The multitude, the press, they thronged him. They were gathered around. They were grabbing. They were touching. They were pressing toward him. All the masses of that day. And he stops and says, who touched me? Pastor, I don't think it was in a passive sense or a passive tone. I don't think it was in a very interested or a concerned tone, because The Bible says in verse 45, and Jesus said, who touched me when all denied? You know, if it was more of a welcoming, you know, who touched me? I think many would have, it was me, Lord. It was I, Lord. It was me that fought through the crowd and touched you. But he turned and said, who touched me? They all denied. Peter and the disciples said, Lord, the mass is thronged. The mass is pressed. And you say, who touched me? Do you see the picture? We find Jesus says, who touched me? They all denied. And I believe if all those that grabbed him, all those that touched his garment, if all those that laid hand upon him that day, if they said it was I, Lord, tonight we'd have been reading the account where many were healed, where the masses were saved, where many were pardoned, but yet tonight only one had the courage, the meekness, the humbleness to say it was I, Lord. Here we see in his house tonight, in the sanctuary, we're in his presence. He's passing by. We felt his presence. Two or three are gathered. He's here. I believe he's been pleased with the singing and with the preaching and with our congregation worship. And we can touch heaven. But he's going to ask, who is it that touched me? Maybe it's the multitude. Maybe it'll be just a few. Perhaps it might be just one. But whoever can say tonight, it's me, Lord. It's me, Lord, that desires you. It's me, Lord, that needs a touch from heaven. Those will he help. It's me. Verse 46. Somebody touched him. And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I see that virtue is gone out of me. I was thinking a few moments ago, this word virtue. It means strength. It has an idea of power. It has the idea of capability, but it means life. As he touched heaven, it's almost as life, the very life, came out of Jesus Christ. You know, Peter, chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. You see, it's because the death and the life that he lived and the death that he died on that cross, you and I can touch heaven. She was at the right place. She came in the right position. She made the right proclamation, and Jesus gave her life. Let's stand tonight as the group comes to sing. I don't know your needs. I don't know what you desire. Maybe you're behind on falling at his feet. Maybe you're behind a trembling and coming to him reverently, coming to him humbly. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to be saved. It's a good place. It's the right place. Jesus can save your soul. Whatever your need is tonight, if you can just touch heaven, touch that border, touch that garment. Who touched me is the question. Father, we thank you tonight for your mercy. We thank you tonight, Father, for your grace. We thank you tonight, Father, for the opportunity we can reach out and touch you. We thank you, Lord, for your healing capabilities. We thank you, Father, for your saving power, for the shed blood. Lord, we thank you, Father, for all that you've accomplished on the cross at Calvary. And Lord, I just pray tonight, as those reach out to touch you, and as you ask the question, Lord, Father, I pray that you would do that, what they desire, for your glory, for your honor, Father, and we'll give you the thanks, the praise, and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.